Welcome to Comics.
Episode 261. We talk about Descender. Visit us at welcometocomics.com. Listen to past episodes. See what we're reading next. Send us a message. Or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. This episode is supported by listeners like you. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics. And now,
the cast begins.
Which one do you think I got?
Well, you said we got the same one, but I don't remember what the other ones were other than the one that I got.
Did you get the Japanese wave one?
Yeah.
Okay. What was your second choice? Because that's not the one I got. I thought about getting that one, and then I realized I see that I know all of the reasons why that is a piece of classic art, and I really like it. But I also feel like in terms of like art, and people think of classic art and Japanese art especially, it's kind of cliche. But that's just like my personal thing. But the whole thing is classic art, right? It's classic art tokens, and the playmats are like some of the most classic art. So it's like, well, if I'm going to get a cliche piece of classic art, I feel like it should be badass. So I got George Washington crossing the Delaware River.
Nice. That's a good choice.
I think next month I'm going to do a game night for the first time in like 6 months.
I need to play something.
Now. And instead of, I was thinking about doing Cowboy Commander, you know, like Bang again, where you have like the sheriff and the deputies and the outlaws and stuff.
Yeah.
I think instead of that, I'm going to theme it, are you badass enough to protect the president or save the president? So instead of the sheriff, it's the president and two bodyguards. And I was at Dollar Tree and I got a blingy U.S. flag necklace.
Nice.
So if you draw the president, you have to use that.
Very nice. I like that.
I can't think of what to rename the outlaws and the renegade.
Well, so you got to have the Secret Service, right? But
yeah.
Then you also have to have the bad dudes, like that game, because that was that game's called Bad Dudes.
Okay. Right? So that would be okay. So then the bad dude would be the renegade, because the renegade. So then the bad dude believes that even the Secret Service guys are on the take. So he's got to kill everyone.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That's a bad enough
dude. You should get like a vest from like, or get a shirt from Goodwill, like a solid red or blue one, and then tear the sleeves off. And that the bad. Oh wait, it's supposed to be secret though, huh?
No, because if you. Oh yeah, yeah. The only role that's revealed is the president.
Dang. Yeah. All right. Well, anyways. You're right.
Yeah, but that'll be fun. I'm going to try and do that next month, probably the end of the month, like the 23rd or the 30th.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, that'll be fun, though.
This week's comic.
Okay. This week, we read Descender, the first volume of it, called Tin Stars, written by Jeff Lemire with art from Dustin Nguyen. Collects the first 6 issues. This is the first in our best of the rest of 2015. This is the stuff that wasn't the best of Marvel, wasn't the best of DC, just kind of everything else I was able to find that shows up on a bunch of lists. And when I saw something done by Jeff Lemire, I was like, that dude did Underwater Welder, and we all love the shit out of that, so I gotta put this on the list. And then it was drawn by Dustin Nguyen, which is, like, just a topper, because he's a phenomenal artist. Then I was really happy that this was a good comic.
It was a good comic, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. It did a really good job of setting tone, like, from the start. And I feel like... This comic in a lot of ways reminds me of Attack on Titan, but done a whole lot better. Like just Attack on Titan.
I hadn't drawn that connection, but now that you've called it out, I can
can't unsee it.
Yeah, I can't unsee it now.
not just because of the Colossal Titan, but just there's this outside force that is assailing them, and from the point that they show up, from then forward, everything in this universe is it's the pressure of that possible return of the Harvesters. And that's what dictates this entire story. And it's just, from the very beginning, it sets that mood, like, immediately. and you're like, okay, now there's something bigger happening here than what, you know, it sets up this whole, like, I love the way it does this. Like, he coyly tells you, you know, there's these nine planets, together they form the UGC, and you're like, okay, I need to study this, like, page or two, so I can understand what's going on here with this. And then the harvesters come in and blow out all the shit anyway. Yeah. So, like, okay, the world he's building here, there's nine planets, there's the UGC, this planet's the home of the UGC, this is technology, okay. And I'm, like, paying close attention, trying to keep it straight. I'm like, all right, this is going to matter. I'm going to keep this straight. This is going to be, like, east to west, where there's, like, 10 nations, and they're all going to feel different. It's going to, like, have super flavor nation to nation. And it does later on, but, like, I'm paying close attention to that, and it just blows all the fuck up in, like, 2 pages. And I'm like, oh, you motherfucker.
Yeah, I got really drawn into the setting as well, and then it became secondary pretty much immediately. Yeah, but I liked it. It was interesting because, you know, you see this catastrophic event happen where the harvesters come and start killing people, but then, you know, after that, we jump forward in time all of a sudden, and it's kind of creepy because, you know, there's this boy, we don't really realize he's a robot at first, and he's alone on this space station, or on this mining colony. It was very, the tone, or the atmosphere changed real quick.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, I mean, six issues is not enough for me. I need to read more.
No, especially where it fucking leaves off.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my god. You just revealed, like, that their entire idea of technology and robotics is based on some shit from, like, a million years ago. And it's just, like, what Jeff Lemire had done building the universe in those first 3 pages, he blows it the fuck up with the harvesters. And then 4 issues after that, he blows it the fuck up again. Yeah. Like, every time I think I've got a handle on the universe he's trying to build, it completely just, it widens more and more and more and more. It's like that old video where Power of 100 or something, where it's like this couple in a picnic in the park and you slowly zoom out until you get to, like, the galaxy.
Yeah.
It felt like that to me, because, okay, yeah, fine. For the implications of robotics and, you know, Tim 21 and how Tim 21 is based on this robot from the past, and maybe that's the harvesters are from. But then you're like, that means that this planet they were on, there were people there before that got completely annihilated. Also by the harvesters, maybe? And this robot seems to be a harbinger of the harvesters or something. Then you get into the whole, like, cyclical history kind of thing that you're talking about, which is a whole, like, BSG kind of, like, blow your mind sort of thing. Except there's a level on top of that where Tim 21 doesn't know what the fuck is going on, but goes to quote unquote robot purgatory, heaven, hell. He goes somewhere when he's offline, and he seems to go there. There's a harvester, like, head there, and there's other robots there. So he's gone somewhere. His consciousness is something beyond a simple robot and beyond artificial intelligence. It's to a whole nother. So there's, like, it blows it up in two separate directions, and both of them I really want to know more about.
Yeah, definitely. They sure know how to leave you at a cliffhanger. I mean, yeah. I gotta read more. There's so many, like, beats in this comic that you can say, oh, this reminds me of this or that or anything, but the way that it's all put together so far, I think, is pretty unique. Because, like you said, you know, you were reminded of Attack on Titan. I also agree with you on the Battlestar Galactica thing. You know, there's a lot of things we've seen in other media, but the way this is kind of coming together is unique, and
it feels more tightly done. I am more willing to believe that there's going to be a satisfying payoff to this whole cyclical history thing than there was with Battlestar. You know, and I already know more about the harvesters after 6 issues of this than I do after, like, 50 issues of Attack on Titan. Like, Attack on Titan is just, it's great, and it's the fucking worst.
I know.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I already, like, this is kind of, it plays on similar tropes that we see in other things, but it pays off in different ways, and it pays off in ways that are way more satisfying than I've seen before. All the stuff that it reminds me of, this feels better than those things.
Yeah, I think sometimes people get upset when there is familiarity in new media.
Ah, Simpsons did it. That kind of sentiment.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And I don't think that I think there are definitely instances where it is not done successfully. But there are also plenty
like
of
Ice
instances.
Ice Baby.
Oh, okay, yeah, the whole under pressure thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry.
But I think this is an example so far. I mean, I've only read the first six issues. Where so far it definitely, there are, like I said, there are definitely, there's familiarity, but it's also very new and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That was very ineloquent of me.
It's okay. It's Friday. It's fucking late for both of us. It's fine. It's cool.
Yeah. But yeah, you know what I mean, right? I think that whatever's going on here, it's being dispensed to us in a way that's really cool.
So when they uncover that robot and they wake it up, mm-hmm. are you with Dr. Kwan or are you with Dr. Osan? I don't know the guy's actual name, so I'm just going to call him Dr. Old Guy. But the older professor is like, listen to what he's saying. This could be real bad. You need to turn him off and just study him some more and take it real slow. And Dr. Kwan is like, we need to turn this motherfucker on, like, right now, because this guy is fucking incredible. Like, I'm not necessarily in the Dr. Kwan camp of, like, stealing him for research purposes. But I'm more in the Dr. Kwan camp of, okay, whatever he's saying sounds real bad. And he sounds like he's talking to us and not like some memory, some ghost thing that he's, you know, he knows where he is. He knows what timeline. He doesn't think he's in the past still. And you're right. It sounds real bad. So I'm with Dr. Kwan, like, but we need to listen to what he's saying so we can have a little bit more of a heads up as soon as possible because this sounds real bad real fast.
Yeah, I don't know. I can see both of their, both sides of the argument, right? I think I'm more on the side of the old man professor, where they need to take it slow. Because I think the point he was trying to make is that, or at least what I put onto it in my interpretation is that he was worried that by activating the robot, they were calling. It was calling out to whatever the bad thing is in the universe.
Yeah.
Probably the harvesters. And that's what he was afraid of, is that they had awakened something that they weren't prepared to deal with, which turned out to be true. You know, they obviously weren't able to deal with the harvesters in any successful way, or at all. We don't even know why the harvesters didn't just keep destroying everything.
Yeah, they just, like, stopped and left.
So, yeah, I think that they should have taken it slower. But, you know, that we don't know if that actually would have made a difference anyway.
No, I got a sense from the robot that just by waking him up, they were going to come. And the way he was talking was like, oh no, it's going to happen again. Like, let's leave him on for like two more minutes and ask him, what's going to happen again, buddy?
But the thing is, the robot wasn't even like listening to them.
Yeah, it's
the
true.
The robot was hysteric.
And it didn't even really give a full translation either.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows what you would have gotten out of him, but part of me was like, come on. I get that you're sensing danger here, but aren't you curious? I mean, that's also the benefit of being a reader.
Yeah.
I can be like, But I want to know what happens. Tell me.
You gotta keep reading if you want to know what happens.
Yeah, and I really want to know what happens to Driller, the real killer. That's the most thug robot I have fucking ever read.
Did you read him in, like, a thuggish voice?
I didn't read him in a thuggish voice, but when I started to, like, type his lines back out, it sounds super thuggish. Can't trust no Humes. Driller, yeah, the real killer. Driller, killer.
I read him as, like, kind of like a dopey robot. Like Lenny from Of Mice and Men.
Oh, you're like, oh, Driller's a real killer.
No, not like that, but I don't know. Never mind. Maybe Lenny's not the right.
He does on multiple occasions say, like, I'm not smart enough for this. I'm not a medical robot. What the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
He does say that. So it's not like it's coming out of nowhere for you to think that. Hold on, let me pull up a couple lines of his.
Alright. Well, he doesn't have that many lines beyond Driller's a killer.
Driller's a killer. Driller the killer. Killer Driller.
Let me pull it up. I'm reading it on
Comixology.
Comixology. I signed it. They have like a free, dude, they have an unlimited thing.
It's $6 a month. That's, I think, reason. I'm gonna keep it because that's like not much more than MDCU is, and I like MDCU. Shut up, Yappy, and whatever you do, stay behind. Whatever happens, stay behind me. No, was it? What are you doing, ugly? What are you doing, ugly Hume? I just love the Hume. Military mechs. Driller hates snooty military mechs. Always thinking they're better than Driller. When he talks in the third person, too. Driller killer. Driller real killer.
See, now when I read, it's going to sound like he's talking jive, Andy.
Driller agrees with ugly Hume. Driller and Yappy Bot are fucked. I just want to put a gold chain around him, that's all. Driller, real killer.
Oh yeah, Yappy Bot's a little dog.
But I like the way that he slowly transforms into somebody that you like. Because at first, you're just like, oh god, this is the reason. Like, this Driller is the reason that they're scrapping robots. Because this guy is just off the reservation, and yeah, you need to scrap him. Like, at first, you're like, yeah, you need to scrap this guy. But within an issue and a half, like, no, he's listening to Tim 21, and Tim 21's like, come on, man, just chill out with the killing thing for a little bit, please. And he's like, all right, but you can't trust no Humes, they all gonna lie to you. I'm like slowly transforming to like New Orleans. Turning him Creole gangster. But like you slowly start to like him and root for him, and he gets, you know, he does get into that Lenny kind of way too, and like you know that he's dangerous, and you know that there's this sense that he's gonna fuck up. Like the whole time you're reading Mice and Men, you're like, oh Lenny, I like you, but this isn't gonna turn out well for you, is it? And I feel the same way with Driller. Like I didn't like you, I'm liking you now, but there's no way this ends well for you, Driller. There's just not. There's no way you go around talking about killing Humes that you end up okay in this comic.
I agree with you. I'm rooting for him because he is the first person who protected Tim 21,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you know, he's protective of Tim, but maybe for the wrong reasons. He's protecting him because he thinks that humans are bad. And from a robot's perspective, he's not wrong. But I hope I can see where you're coming from with something bad's going to happen to him. But I hope that he grows into a more reasonable character and sticks with Tim for a long time.
Yeah, and I think it's also good to have another robot like that there, because if you want Tim 21 to come off as seeming special, which he is. The way the story is constructed, there is something special about this Tim series, Tim 21 and Tim 22 that gets revealed. They're related to the Harvesters somehow and that original robot from back when. So there's something special about them. I don't think there's anything special about Driller. I think Driller is what robotics was before they found TIM-21. So you need to be able to show me how the two are different. Like, how is TIM-21 not just another robot, the way Driller is just another robot, and the way the Yappy one is just another robot? So you need these opposites. But the dog one obviously doesn't count, because nobody's going to program a dog with superior AI, you know, unless you build a friggin' exocomp like some idiot like Georgie. But generally, like, the dog thing is not, it's not going to be what gets the AI. It's going to be the more anthropomorphized one. So you need Driller there.
And I mean, we see robots. We see that they had robots before Dr. Kwan and his boss discover the secret ruins in the ruins and robot, right?
Yeah.
And they seemed pretty simplistic. They were like the pilots of the ship and whatnot.
Yeah, and like the kitchen robot, I think, is kind of the same kind of thing.
Yeah, and so I think Driller is something along those lines. He's a robot that's built for completing a task, right?
Mm-hmm.
He drills. But Tim, his task... kills. But yeah, he does that too. He's multitasking. But Tim, his task is to be a companion. That's like super open ended.
Well, and his right? And part of his primary programming is to develop empathy to better fit in with humans. That is a complex directive to give to a robot in comparison to what you're telling these other things to do. Like, you're telling this guy, pilot a ship. And I get piloting a ship isn't simple, but it's programmable, you know? Drill here, here, and here. It might not be simple, but it's programmable. Develop empathy. that's clearly a higher order task to assign a machine.
Right. I mean, like, it's like you said, it's a task that can be programmed, right? They have a goal to complete, and once they complete that goal, there's only so many ways you can, like, drill, right? Or pilot a ship. There's a finite number of ways to go about that, but developing empathy, that's completely open-ended, right? I mean, we can see that Tim is impacted by nurture, right? He doesn't have, we don't know what his true nature is. And we see in the flashbacks of him with the little boy and his mom that he is learning from them.
Right.
Yeah. Is it a cat?
Yes. It's being annoying. My in-laws moved, and the place they moved into only allowed one pet, so now we have a cat.
I think I remember you telling me about this. But yeah, so, I mean, it's great that we get those flashbacks, with Andy and Tim-21's mom, Mrs. Travers? It's good for multiple reasons, because not only does it help you develop an immediate bond with Tim-21 as he's running from these scrappers, like, okay, he obviously looks and sounds more like than just a machine, but you get to see through these members, you get to see him bonding with humans, and humans bonding with him, you know? You get to see his quote-unquote mother giving him a hug the same way she hugs her child. So she's obviously developed a bond with Tim-21. It's great because then you can see how he has developed this empathy, and it's made him into the boy that you're reading. And that's great because then you can take that, and then you can look at Tim-22, who's revealed at the very end with this, like, gang of robot resistance people, you know? Like, this is robot resistance cell. So if Tim-22 has assimilated to that resistance cell as his family, and he's tried to express empathy to their causes to make him fit in with them better because he's part of their... How does that change how Tim-22 develops as a robot? Because the directive, right. The directive you have to assume is the same. So he's supposed to fit in with his family, and if he's changed the way he's defining family to mean this resistance cell, how different is that kid going to look to Tim-21? And is it going to be in a good way? Is it going to be a bad way? Like, right away, you kind of root for him because they're the hardwire and it sounds badass and like they look cool. They're a robot resistance cell. But, I mean, that's just the initial thing that you're getting, but who knows how good or bad they're actually going to be. So I'm super excited to see what Tim 22 acts like.
Yeah, is he going to be an evil twin?
Yeah. Or just like, not even evil twin, but just like a...
Right.
Like a fanatic or like a zealot or something.
Yeah, we don't know. As far... All we know now is that the Hardwire resistance guys are... They are a source of good based on the situation that our main protagonist is in, right? They're rescuing him from these guys who want to dissect him.
Yeah, the Nishians are straight up cutting off limbs, so... Anybody that gets you away from them seems pretty good. Or at the very least, we know who the bad guys are, for sure.
Well, yeah. We know that the Nishians are definitely bad. But we don't know that the UGC is good either, right?
Yeah, especially because in the flashback, or I don't even know how far back it is, but no, it's not even a flashback, it's in the present time. When one of the representatives in the UGC realizes that the general wants to build a harvester for the UGC.
Yeah.
Right? Like there's a, I mean, there's gray area and then there's building a nuke. Like these things were past any level of destruction that these colonies had ever imagined possible. And sure, you can say that you're just going to have a harvester to protect the planet against the Nishians. But do you really? Is that where you stop? How do you protect? How many do you need to protect all of these colonies and planets?
Right.
Do you need one, two, three? When you have that many, why not just kill all the Nishians? I mean, they're the ones causing a problem. I mean, it's such an easy, slippery slope to get on. So yeah, there's that gray area in here. It's not so black and white.
Yeah, this guy seems like he's definitely starting his own arms race against an unseen enemy.
But he loves and trusts his daughter.
Yeah.
I like Captain Tesla. She's cool.
Telsa. Yeah, I like her too. She seems cool. And, you know, I think that at first I thought she was going to be like the hard-ass military person. But she's very empathetic and interesting. And I can't wait to see what she does. Because I feel like she's going to give us a non-zealous robot perspective.
Well, kind of, because she also... That's what I think I liked about her character, is I never knew where to go with her as I was reading this. Right when you think, okay, maybe she's kind of sympathetic to the idea that we need a robot and maybe we shouldn't be killing them all, except then you get her flashback where she's running with her mother and the harvester has killed her mother by cutting her in half. And it puts in the context how she is very much... cut and dry that Tim 21 is a machine. Not a person, doesn't have any rights. You know, I can lie to him all I want, doesn't matter, it's a machine. And at the end of the day, I just need it to do what I want it to do. So there's that part of her that seems brutal, but then she calls the general and calls him daddy, and maybe it's because I have a daughter now, but it's like, she can't be all bad.
Well, I think that she recognizes she has a job to do, but she's not, for lack of a better term, she's not a robot. You know, she has feelings. Yeah. See, like what I did there?
Yeah.
She has feelings about what's going on around her. And I feel like that she's going to be kind of like torn and pulled in multiple directions because she definitely has empathy. And I think she's developing some towards Tim, right? She knows that the answers are in him, but she realizes that the answer isn't to rip him apart and take him apart and cut him open. That's not going to get them the answers they want. Or maybe it will, but that's not the way to do it. That's not the place to start, right?
Yeah. Well, and she's getting the same benefit we are. I mean, I think her concept of what robots are is limited to characters like Driller. And she's seeing that Tim 21 is far more complex and far more advanced than a robot like Driller. And she's having to redefine what it means for her. Because we get that flashback of that flashback panel of her running with her mother. And she's real young there. So her concept of what a robot is defined in that day and every day forward. And that's a narrow viewpoint that she has been able to construct based on her life circumstances. And she hasn't come across really a character, or she hasn't come across a robot like Tim 21 before. She never has. And if she has, it's been in a super limited capacity. So she's having to actively realign what that means for her and her,
yeah.
and her obvious boiling dislike of robots. It's under that.
Well, yeah, I think you're right that she does have a negative outlook on robots, but I think like Tim 21, she is a product of her environment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not only was her parent or her mother killed by this, as far as we know, giant robot, but she grew up in a world where not everybody, but the vast majority of people hated robots. They were anti-robotics. And I'm sure even if she was even the most reasonable people can get swept up in that kind of fervor, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that there, maybe I'm putting this onto the story myself, but I feel like there's a nature versus nurture. Well, maybe not nature versus nurture, but being a product of your environment. Because Tim, we see him growing up in a loving environment, and then we see Captain Telsa growing up in whatever, we only see some of her childhood so far, but, I think it's, like you said, it's safe to assume that her opinion on robots and stuff is being influenced by the world around her.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And then, I mean, again, that's, we get that in robots that aren't allowed to grow. I mean, I get the sense that Driller's not going to really advance very much in his programming, and there's people who are letting their I see what you mean, nature versus nurture, but I also think it's...
I think people, there's more than just that,
Yeah, I think it's also people who are characters who are defining their circumstances versus characters who let their circumstances define them. I think that's the way I would want to phrase that.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
I'll go with that. And, Tim 21 is not going to let his circumstances define who he is or how he acts. And same with Telsa, she's not going to do that. But there are plenty of characters in this comic that do. They're just going to accept what's given to them and take it as truth, which is not good. Hey, so what did you think about the art in this?
At first I wasn't a big fan of it, but especially because I had trouble figuring out if Dr. Kwan was male or female. Not that that matters, but I was getting distracted trying to figure that out. Once that was settled in my mind, I started to really like the art. It's watercolors, right? It seems like watercolors.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's watercolor. Whatever it is, it's a very, very loose style.
I feel like that's not something we see too often in comics.
No, generally not.
Because that's just not—it's not the traditional comic style. I like this art. There is a lack of detail in some places,
mm-hmm.
but I think that that's okay. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah, lack of detail is definitely a problem. You get some characters, their faces will change page to page, issue to issue. And it's generally, you have a problem because the art here is so flowing from one thing to the next, which I think doesn't naturally lend itself to science fiction. When you think about science fiction, you think about robots and ships and all these things that have hard, defined lines and angles. And
yeah.
you try to bring that in with watercolor, and it's rough. Not that it doesn't work, per se, but it messes with your traditional belief of what a sci-fi comic is going to look like. It just takes it and throws it out. And it works, though. Not only does it work when you change it, like, you turn the page and you get a nice full page or two page spread, and you're like, oh my fucking god, this all looks beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, like the close ups, the faces, or not, the close ups are okay. It's the mid range stuff. When there's like three people in a panel, you know, it's too small to really get that good a detail with this kind of art style. And it gets a little bit muddy, I want to say. That's not, maybe not the right word to use, but that's the word I'm going to use. But man, the full pages are beautiful, and I think it works the best when you're encountering Tim 21 and when you first discover that it's a robot. Because mm-hmm. he's going, Mom and Andy, and he's drawn just like every other human is drawn. But then when the robot comes out, you see hard lines, and you're like, it's such a stunning contrast in what he looks like on the outside versus what he looks like on the inside. That it really, really worked for me. And it kind of moves away a little bit, you know, when he gets blasted through the middle and his wires come out to look like guts, and the art moves in a direction that makes you want to empathize with him versus see him as an object. But I really, that first time when, like, his arms and stuff come apart when he sees the dog, like, it just, that the juxtaposition there was great between the loose, free-flowing kind of stuff that we normally get with the humanoid bodies and then the hard lines that we get for the robot. Because the hard lines stand out so much versus the rest of this art style. So when he does do hard lines, you're like, yeah, it sticks out in your mind.
Yeah, definitely. I think too that the loose style also lends itself well to setting like atmosphere. You know, by having, instead of having detailed backgrounds, we get tones, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like in the mining company, or in the mining colony, I guess you could put it. I guess you should say, the dark backgrounds that are kind of just like a solid color really convey the atmosphere. I mean, like I said at the beginning earlier, that I felt that the tone changed really quick because, you know, we see this, the world being attacked, and then it switches over to this little boy who wakes up all alone in this space station. It's pretty mm-hmm. spooky. And I think part of the reason why that's successful is because of the atmosphere. And then, you know, when we see the flashback of them finding the ancient robot, you know, I think the colors really do a good job of showing the starkness of this planet. You know, it's like, it's a desert.
Yeah.
But there's something important underground, and I don't know. I think it works really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You want to rate it?
Sure. Oh, shall I go first?
Sure. I mean, I can go first too.
Which no, I'll go.
All right.
Oh man. No, I'll go.
Okay.
Man, this is tough. You know, I really liked this comic.
Does it feel like a 5 to you?
I'm gonna go with a 5.
Okay.
Part of the reason why I'm going to go with a 5, even though we didn't get the whole story, it's only 6 issues, right?
Yeah.
I haven't been this excited to find out what happens next in a while. There's a lot going on in this comic that really excites me. You know, hey, I want to know what's going to happen to Tim 21, but I want to know more about this world. I want to know what's the deal with the harvesters. You know, there's so many unanswered questions. And there's a lot of cool stuff going on around this mystery. I want to know if Driller and that other guy are going to get out of the melting pits, right?
Oh, yeah. So, we didn't even talk about that, the whole gladiatorial. Yeah.
Really
yeah.
That. But, you know, the 6 issues we read were excellent. And I can't wait to read the next 6. I think there's 12 issues out so far. But I don't think there's a collection yet. Or maybe there's 11 issues. But I'm going to go with a 5. I thought this was, like I said, I thought it was great. And I really want to know what's going to happen next. So, yeah, there you go.
Oh, man, David. Shit, I don't know.
See, I was going to give it a 4.5, but I decided to go just give it
Just go for it.
Just just go for it. I'm going to trust my gut here, and I think that I feel like the five I'm giving it now is going to...
You're giving it a hopeful five.
Yeah, but I'm it's not just hopeful. I think I'm confident that the quality is gonna stick with it. Knowing how much I've liked previous work by Jeff Lemire.
Yeah.
So I think it's a safe bet.
Yeah, I mean I can't think of that much stuff that I don't like about this comic, but something about it doesn't feel like five territory to me, and I don't...
You don't have to give it a five, Andy.
I can't put... See, but that's the thing, is I can't put my finger on why. Part of me thinks it might be pacing in places. We get, like, a whole issue of Tim 21 running away, which does a good job of giving you empathy for him, but at the same time, it doesn't move the universe forward the way I think I would want it to, but... It's so early on, do you really need to advance the world that quickly? I mean, I feel like that's a criticism I'm giving in retrospect after having read all six issues, because as I was reading that issue, I wasn't like, okay, can we hurry this up? This is taking forever. Like, I didn't have that thought. Part of me, I think, doesn't want to give it a five, because now that I'm done with it, I'm like, oh, but that didn't give me enough. I wanted more of this. Which isn't something to be, like, downplaying it for, you know? Like, if I finish a trade and I'm like, no, but give me more, that should be an up rating.
Yeah, that's usually a good thing.
Yeah, right? So I don't know why it doesn't feel like a five to me, but it doesn't. But I feel like I'm swayed by your argument, and I'm going to give it that optimistic but confident five as well.
I think that's safe.
Because, and I'm thinking also about what we talked about at the beginning of our discussion of the comic, when we're talking about how it keys into your memories of all these other things. Like, for me, it keys into Attack on Titan, it keys into Battlestar Galactica, and all these things that were themes on those shows. But this seems to do it better in so much shorter of a space of time.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, if I can feel this much more confident in a comic than I can in those things that I enjoyed so much, then that's five territory.
I think you made the right decision.
Yes. Yes. I have the support. Okay. Yeah, so that's it for this week. Next week we're going to read Democracy by, oh god, Alekos Papadatos and Abraham Kawa. So this is I think this is a semi not really historical. It's a story about a guy who's in a war and he's looking back on the previous couple years and how he's fighting this war to end tyranny and try this new system of government called democracy. And there's things in here with gods and stuff, and I honestly don't know. It was on a bunch of lists, and it sounds weird and cool and different from a lot of what we read, which is what I'm going for here. A lot of what we read is cape stuff, and a lot of what we read is very traditional kinds of comics. And this rest of 2015, I don't want it to be that. I don't want it to be the super traditional comics. So we're going to do this democracy thing. This is a graphic novel, so it's not collecting any issues or anything. Just go out and find this bad boy by Alekos Papadatos. Got it that time. Fuck yeah. And give it a read. Read it with us. And I hope it's going to be good. I don't know. It was on a bunch of lists and set in Greece, with Athena and some gods and stuff.
Neat.
Yeah.
I like mythology.
Yeah, me too. And I wish I could give it a better selling, but fuck, man, it is late.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Did we read Wicked and Divine for the show?
Yes, we read the first volume of Wicked and Divine.
Okay, because I read the first volume last night, and I was like, this seems really familiar. It was late.
No, and straight up, though, this is our 261st episode. It's okay to have forgotten a couple.
Yeah.
I scroll through them like, we read American Vampire? I remember fuck all nothing about American Vampire.
Hey, but let me say this about Wicked and Divine. It was just as good the second time around.
It's a fucking good comic, man. That was a good one. American Vampire, awesome. I don't think was.
I like Scott Snyder, though. Anyways.
Yeah, anyways, that's it for this week. Until next week, everybody, goodbye!
Goodbye.